I'm just a plain old Midwestern boy. Yes, I'm getting by on Central Time. Some people say that the Mississippi River is the backbone of the nation. They can say whatever they want. I won't disagree with that statement. I see people working hard as ever. Just wonder what I...
Right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Skyline Studio here, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. Triple Play Thursday. Get your requests in now. We'll play them in a little bit. That's one artist, three songs. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Today marks the Woodstock Festival's first day. So we're going to talk about Woodstock, reminisce about that, and then we're going to talk about some of the greatest concerts of the past 50 years and some other music topics as well. And we got some special effects in movies that that were crazy, crazy hard to do. So and much more. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text and for your Triple Play Thursday requests. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected with our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. My next guest is a writer. He was born in Lansing, Michigan, which, by the way, is also the birthplace of Burt Reynolds and the Oldsmobile. A couple of the articles that we're going to talk about that he's written have appeared in Chicago Magazine, but he's appeared in a bunch of other publications. He's also written books. He's the author of How to Speak Midwestern and Folk Tales and Legends of the Midwest. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Midwest with Edward McClelland, who also goes by Ted, and we'll welcome Ted to the show. Ted, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here.
All right, how you doing?
Good. I'm staying up. I'm going to power through for the late night crowd here.
There you go.
Hello to everybody on third shift.
There you go. Yes, we have a lot of people on third shift. Born in Lansing, Michigan.
People on third shift there.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So tell me about what it was like to be born in Michigan, and is that where the whole fascination with the Midwest started with you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what was it like to be born in Michigan? I mean, you were just, mentioning third shift, I went to high school across the street from a Fisher Body Auto Plant.
Oh, sure.
It was going 24 hours a day, and, all indelible memories of high school track and field, inhaling paint fumes from across the street. And guys, when we would play football, guys would stand in the balcony, taking off a few minutes from work and watch the game. So, auto work was just sort of just stitched into the fabric of the town.
Yeah. Are you live in Chicago now?
Yes, I do.
And when did you move here?
Let's see. 1995. Although the first place I lived in Illinois was in Decatur.
So I was
a downstater before I was ever a Chicagoan.
Okay.
So that's where I picked up a lot of the things that I included in my downstate dictionary. I have several specifically Decatur terms in here.
Yeah.
And I want to mention that if you read the article, I did discover that that there is one error in there. I talked about Jim Edgar and how he scrubbed his Midland accent, but apparently he calls the nation's capital Washington.
Yeah. Well, you know what? My mother, Edward, to this day, says Warsh, and she grew up downstate Illinois on a farm.
Oh well, my dad's wife grew up in Granite City, and she says Warsh.
Yeah, it's really crazy. It's really kind of crazy because it's and there are very specific things. And of course, you wrote a whole the whole downstate Illinois dictionary. What was it about What was it about downstate Illinois that fascinated you so much to write about the way people talk down there?
Well, probably because it's so different from Chicago. You know, it's just a completely different accent, a completely different, dialect region. You know, Chicago is what you call the Inland North region, which is the accent is derived from Western New York. You know, you go to Rochester and Buffalo, everybody talks exactly like they talk in Chicago, and ultimately from New England. And then Central Illinois is in what you call the Midland region. So it's like, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, kind of going all the way back to Baltimore and Philadelphia. So they, there were different patterns of westward migration to the two parts of the state, and they produce totally different accents.
So what are some of the, besides Warsh or Washington, as you would say, what are some of the other ones that pop out at you? Because every time my mom says Warsh, I just go, Mom, it's Wash.
Well, you know, one thing I noticed when I moved to Decatur was people would use any more at the beginning of a sentence. You know, they'd say, oh, you know, any more, it's just too dangerous to go downtown.
Yeah.
You know, and which would mean nowadays. And that's a feature that they call positive anymore.
Yeah.
And that's, by the way,
how you open the article is with a piece. But people can see this at chicagomag.com. It appeared in Chicago Magazine. But go ahead.
And then, you know, the way they say the name of the state, they'll call it Illinois.
Yeah.
Like, and then they'll talk about they drink milk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those were definitely some things I noticed that I'd never heard in the upper Midwest.
Now, so this, when you were in Decatur, was that when the whole idea to write about this language hit you?
No, it actually came much, much later, but I was able to draw on the fact that, you know, I lived all over the Midwest to work on this book.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the article here, the Downstate Illinois Dictionary. You've got some specific ones that you've got here. You just mentioned milk in Illinois.
Right.
As opposed to milk in Illinois.
Right.
Tell everybody what American bottom is. I love this one. What's American
bottom? Yeah, it's you know, it's not the name of a Grand Funk Railroad album. a fertile floodplain on the eastern bank of the Mississippi River from Alton to Kaskaskia. The region got its name after the War of Independence when Americans began colonizing the area. They wanted to distinguish themselves from the Spanish territory across the river. So it's kind of the equivalent of what you call Metro East now.
Yeah. And the next one that you've got here in the dictionary ties in with that. That's Below the Hill, which is another
one.
It's another one that I love. That's a great one.
Right, yeah. Metro East cities west of the ridge it forms the American bottom, including East St. Louis. And I think it's kind of maybe a euphemism for the African-American communities.
Yeah.
In that part of the state.
Yeah, Below the Hill.
I remember Alan Dixon, the former senator. I you know, he sent me a copy of his memoirs, and he talked about going after the vote below the hill because, you know, he's from that part of the state.
Yeah. And what else? What about Burgoo? I've heard this
Burgoo.
One. Yeah, I've heard this.
I've heard this. I've never eaten it because, you know, I guess real Burgoo includes squirrel.
Yeah.
And I've never tried this, and we'll talk about other things I've been afraid to eat when we get to the sandwiches. a pioneer stew originally made with squirrel, venison, whatever vegetables the prairie's first European settlers could grow. Every October, Utica holds a Burgoo festival, and it's still legal to kill a squirrel and eat it, but not to serve it to somebody else.
So you can you can eat it yourself. You can kill a squirrel and eat it.
Yes, you can make your own homebrew Burgoo.
Right.
But I don't think you're going to get squirrel Burgoo at the Burgoo Festival in Utica.
it's no wonder you wrote an entire book about being Midwestern, man. I didn't realize how weird it was to be Midwestern or to be downstate.
Yeah, well, you know, Midwestern kitsch, that's, you know, that's my wheelhouse.
Yeah, yeah. All right, I love this. Carbon delay.
Carbondelet,
as opposed to Carbondale. Carbondelet.
Yeah, that's like kind of the faux pretentious pronunciation. It's like calling Target Target.
Right. You know what? One of the things here that I love is this course in Chicago, or at least, is sort of the selective. You know how we are selective about how we pronounce things. Like Illinois is Illinois, but Des Plaines is Des Plaines.
Right,
you know, which I always thought was, which is kind of weird. They just pick and choose which ones they're going to pronounce, like with the French way, or just say, "Nah, it's Des Plaines." It's not
right.
It's not, yeah.
Because I'm sure if the British had gotten here first, Illinois would have a Y at the end of it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a French spelling. Yeah, exactly.
All right, cheese toasty.
That's a grilled cheese sandwich, but only in Decatur. You know, it's specifically Decatur term.
Yeah. F County, and that's
Effingham County, which includes a town called called Two Topless, which everybody just calls T-Town.
Yeah. And then, of course, we're getting to more sandwiches. Now, this one I've tried. This is the Horseshoe.
The Horseshoe, yes. Yeah. Yes, this is like open-faced sandwich of ham, turkey, and or hamburger on two slices of toast, covered with French fries and smothered in cheese sauce. Now, the place that used to be the place to get the Horseshoe is a place called Norb Andy's. And that's, I guess, since closed.
Okay.
And you can also, you can get it pretty, you know, I didn't really see them much in Decatur, although there's a diner in Champaign, and maybe you know it. I don't know, did you go to U of I?
I went there to drink.
Oh, you went there to drink.
Yeah,
you,
I would.
Remember
I visited
the diner where everybody would go when they were really. Oh, Mary Ann's.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
yes.
Where everybody would go when they were drunk.
Yes.
At 3 a.m.
Yes.
Yeah, they serve the Horseshoe.
Yeah. All right. Let me jump to another one here before we break because we have to break.
Right.
I love the smell of money. Tell everybody about this one. This is a great.
Oh yeah. Well, this is like you know, I noticed this in Decatur. You know, when I would live there. I live right between the Staley and the ADM plant, and I was constantly inhaling the odor of roasting corn and soybeans, and actually so much so that I got so sick I couldn't swallow solid food for a week and had to live on Carnation Instant breakfast drinks and lost like 20 pounds.
Oh, man.
But if you mention it, they'll say, you know, people get really defensive about it. They'll say, well, you know, that smells like money to some people.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they'll expect you to stop noticing it.
While you're drinking your Carnation Instant Breakfast.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we got to go to the one above it, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Who knows where Shampoo Banana is?
Yeah, well, Shampoo Banana, no.
We were just talking about it. Yeah, Champagne Urbana.
Yeah, Shampoo Banana.
Right.
I don't know if I've ever heard that one before, but
it's a deep cut, but people do say it. when I've mentioned it to people from the area, they know what I'm talking about.
Oh, they know exactly what you're talking about. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Ted, hang on, man, okay?
All right.
Edward McClelland is with us. He's the author of How to Speak Midwestern, Folk Tales and Legends of the Midwest as well. We got a lot more to talk about. That was a piece that you could read, Downstate Illinois Dictionary. That's at chicagomag.com. When we come back, we're going to talk about a guide to very specific Midwestern sandwiches, and then we'll find out what Ted will and won't eat, so including squirrel. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN.
Operator, put me through to Decatur.
Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. This is the anniversary, 50 years ago, the very first day of Woodstock began. So we're going to talk about that, plus we're going to talk about some of the greatest concerts of the last 50 years and open up the phone lines to some of the best concerts that you've ever seen in your life and maybe perhaps some of the worst and more. The phone number is 312-981-7200. For talk and text and your Triple Play Thursday request, it's one artist, three songs, 312-981-7200. My guest right now, we're having a conversation with Edward McClelland, who is the author of How to Speak Midwestern and Folk Tales and Legends of the Midwest. He's also written for the New York Times, Los Angeles Times, and currently writes some stuff for the Chicago Magazine, chicagomagazine.com, chicagomag.com. And let's welcome Ted back to the show. Ted, welcome back.
Yeah, you got to tell me the name of the song you were playing on the break about Decatur.
Yeah, that's from who's remind me who that is.
So that's Pork and the Havana Ducks.
Pork and Havana Ducks.
The only time I remember hearing Decatur mentioned the song was in. You remember the movie Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks?
Yeah,
he had this little line: "I'm not like the rest of the boys. I'm from Decatur, Illinois."
I don't make it rhyme. I don't remember that, and I've seen that. I've
yeah,
seen that
well, everybody,
movie.
Everybody in Decatur.
Oh,
remembers
sure.
that one.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I've seen that movie like 100 times, and it gives me an excuse.
Listen for it next time.
I will, absolutely. All right. So you also put together a guide to very specific Midwestern sandwiches. What inspired you to do this one?
You know, that kind of came from the book too. I mean, I just took a drive when I was researching the book throughout the Midwest, and I was trying all the local delicacies. I mean, some people quibble with me, including Buffalo and Pittsburgh in the Midwest, but they speak with Midwestern accents there. So There you go.
That's what you went with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, since it was a linguistic guide, that's what I, yeah. So I would have things like, you know, the garbage plate in Rochester and some things like we got to get a in Cincinnati and the sugar cream pie in Indiana. And then some of the sandwiches, you know, we're going to talk about here today.
We love talking about food and on this show. And I really love talking about dishes from different places. And this is right in my wheelhouse. I love this kind of stuff, man. All right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Tell us about the Polish boy.
Okay, so that's like that's from Cleveland. Cleveland's hometown sandwich. It's kielbasa with coleslaw and French fries smothered in barbecue sauce. And supposedly the sandwich was invented by the owner of a barbecue joint because he just happened to have a lot of coleslaw, French fries, and barbecue sauce lying around his restaurant. So he just decided to put them all in one sandwich. So there you go.
All right.
And nobody else makes it, and nobody else eats it outside Cleveland.
Then that's just, I'll have to ask my Cleveland buddies about that. You know the one thing that I know that is specific to Cleveland is their stadium mustard. Which is the Bertman's Stadium mustard, which at one point you could only get at County Stadium in Cleveland, and it's the best mustard I've ever tasted.
Do they serve it at the Jake now?
They do, absolutely, and it's the mustard of Cleveland, and I mean you can get it online now everywhere, but that's the mustard that I use at home all the time. It's the best mustard I've ever tasted in my life. I would say
Cleveland, you know, equals and possibly surpasses Chicago as an encased meat capital.
Absolutely. I mean, no question about it.
Have you been to the West Side Market?
Yes, I have.
Every animal carcass they can stuff in a casing is hanging from the ceiling at the West Side Market.
It's a beautiful thing, man. It is a beautiful thing. Let's talk about the tenderloin. I have had this and I love it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, pork fritter, bigger than the bun trying to contain it, served in every Indiana diner and grill. And I guess it's a big thing in Iowa now because I keep seeing videos of presidential candidates eating tenderloin sandwich. I think it was Kamala Harris, finally got her pork tenderloin the other day.
Yeah, no, it's funny. It's fun. Well, first of all, it's always funny to see the presidential candidates just stuff their face in Iowa with anything that's deep fried. But yeah, the tenderloin, and man, you know, when you say that it's bigger than the bun, that's an understatement.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, we have a picture of it here.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, and I just saw a picture of my former alderman down at the state fair. He's having pork on a stick, so it's pork season.
Yeah, it is.
Although apparently there are a couple of vegan candidates, and they had a fried peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, Cory Booker. I saw Cory Booker chowing down on it. It was deep fried. He's a vegan, and I'm not sure how he got away with that, but he did.
And then you can get the breaded loin. That's extra cholesterol, fat, and categories. But you know, it's just a loin. They just call it a loin. That's it.
And they're really delicious. I've had them. They're really delicious.
I had one in Peru in Cole Porter's hometown.
Ah, there you go. How about the Bayport fish sandwich?
Well, that's only in Bayport, Michigan, and every summer in the first weekend of August, we just missed it. The Bayport Fish Sandwich Festival, and it has its roots in a stand that sold fish sandwiches to travelers for 25 cents. And at first they used herring, but when that became scarce, they switched to mullet. So it's a mullet sandwich is your classic Bayport fish sandwich.
All right. How about a brain sandwich?
Now, that's the one I didn't try.
Right.
I mean, can anybody blame me? deep-fried calves' brains on rye bread. I mean, I just didn't have the guts to do that one.
Yeah, and that's
that just seems like even though it's not human, I would have felt like Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah,
And widely enjoyed when St. Louis was a slaughterhouse town. Now only served in a few taverns. There's a place called Shotzi's Bar and Grill. That's one of their specialties. But they switched to pig brains after the mad cow scare. So you're not even really getting the original brain sandwich.
Got it. All right.
So it's kind of a faded tradition.
So we're hitting St. Louis again with anything with Prevel in it.
Yeah, you know, I had never heard of Prevel before I started, you know, researching this book, but it's this, you know, processed cheese of cheddar, Swiss, and provolone. And they make a lot of pizza with that.
Yeah, they do.
So it's kind of it's got a buttery taste and a gooey, greasy Chester. So I texture. I mean, I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing this right. Maybe you can help me because you're Italian. Salsiccia, a sandwich with provolone, pepperoncini, yeah, and pickles, with meat sauce on a sesame seed bun. And then there's a prosperity sandwich, which is an open-faced toasted garlic bread topped with roast beef and provolone, and a Gerber sandwich, which is an open-faced toasted hoagie with garlic butter ham and provolone.
Yeah,
I had the first one.
We were talking about provolone here on the show when we were talking about specific pizza, and someone from St. Louis said it's provolone, and then somebody listening sent us like a big box full of provolone. And
sweet.
And it's really good cheese, man. It's really tasty stuff.
Yeah.
And we're still not out of St. Louis. Now this one sounds weird to me. This next one sounds weird to me. But I would eat it. There's no question that I would eat it.
And I ate it. The St. Paul sandwich.
Yeah.
Egg foo young patty, lettuce, pickle and mayonnaise on white bread. And you can get it in Chinese takeouts.
That's
so it's like all Chinese food mixed up between two slices of white bread. So that's a super American delicacy.
Yeah, no, that sounds fantastic. That sounds fantastic. Yeah. Now the next one,
I thought it was pretty disgusting.
Yeah. Oh, did you? I don't know. Okay, probably is. But now the next one I've had. This place is legendary. It's in Pittsburgh.
Oh man, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's one of the best. Tell everybody about this one.
The Primanti sandwich.
Yeah,
a sandwich with coleslaw, tomato, French fries, and your choice of meat between slices of Italian bread. I had pastrami, and they said the hamburger is most popular, but I think if you get this, you got to have the pastrami.
Yeah, I had the hamburger when I had the.
Okay, well, go back because I don't think this is outside the Pittsburgh area.
No. You got to go there to eat the sandwich, and they're huge too. They're huge.
Right.
We're running out of time here a little bit. We know about the loose meat sandwich. And of course the Italian beef you mentioned here. Of course that's a daily.
Right. Yeah.
Now what was another one that you wouldn't try? Is there another one that you wouldn't try?
No, I think the brain was the only one.
Okay. All right. And what was your favorite out of all of the ones that you tried out of the sandwiches in the Midwest? Which one was your favorite?
Probably the beef on weck, I don't know why, buffalo wings are a nationwide thing, but that's not the best thing out of buffalo. The best thing out of buffalo is this beef on weck sandwich. And it's, kind of soggy, rare roast beef inside this Kaiser roll studded with pretzel salt and caraway seed with horseradish sauce, so it's kind of like sweet and salty and pungent all at the same time. Buffalo was a big beer town, so this made people thirsty.
That sounds fantastic. Now the two books that we're talking about, How to Speak Midwestern and Folk Tales and Legends of the Midwest, are they all available?
Yeah, they're both from Bell Publishing, and you can get them from Amazon, and you can probably get them in some local bookstores too.
Okay. The next time we have you on, let's dive into the folk tales and legends of the Midwest, because I'm sure there's a lot of weird stuff that.
Sure. We can talk all about Resurrection Mary.
Oh well, we've mentioned Resurrection Mary right around Halloween time. Resurrection Mary becomes a staple. So why don't we have you back in October, Ted?
Okay, cool. That'd be fantastic.
Okay, cool. So, and you got a website people can get some stuff or info?
www.edwardmcclelland.com, McClelland.
All right, edwardmcclelland.com for all the information. Lots of fun talking to you, man. We'll talk to you,
closer to
Halloween. Cool?
Okay, great. Talk to you then.
There you go. Edward McClelland, everybody. How to Speak Midwestern and Folk Tales and Legends of the Midwest, available from Bell Publishing. Lots of entertaining stuff. And those two articles that we were specifically talking about, the sandwiches and the language in the Midwest, those are available, and you can read those at chicagomag.com, the Chicago Magazine website. All right, we're going to take a break here on 720 WGN, and we will return with the news.